This morning I will be reading from Isaiah 60. In it, the latter chapters of Isaiah, he is looking forward to the time in which our Lord will reign here on earth. Now, as a child, perhaps maybe you had a mother or father that, or maybe a guardian that sometimes might have greeted you with arise and shine, rise up and shine. Sometimes it might have been, you know, earnestly. It might have been, you know, they really meant it. Or maybe it was because you were just sitting or laying and being a little bit lazy and they're trying to motivate you. But that is a common idiom, I suppose you could say, or saying for the morning. And some have attributed that saying to the military, that starting sometime in the 1800s, that is a common saying that was used to call to attention the soldiers, arise and shine. But the origins of this expression go back much further and have a much deeper meaning than just simply waking up for another day. God gave this command to Isaiah to tell Israel to arise and shine, for a new day is coming. Not just the promised hope of a new day, of an average new day that it brings, but the hope that the Messiah would come, that he would reign, that he would bring peace, that he'd rule in perfect rule. This command wasn't just reserved for Israel, but for all Gentiles and Christians specifically. Isaiah 60 tells us to be alert for the day in which the light of the world will return is approaching, a day in which Israel and the whole world will see the light and the glory of the Lord. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn to Isaiah 60, and I'll be reading verses 1 to 5. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and the gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see, and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces, or the wealth, of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Like many of the prophetic verses in the Bible, Isaiah writes in a present tense while speaking of future events that God is revealing to him. And he commands Israel to arise, to stand at attention, and to shine, to be enlightened. As Christians, we are called to, in this present day, to stand up for Jesus. For we who are born again are enlightened by his Holy Spirit. The truth is within us, or he reveals within us. And we look forward to his light, our Lord's return and his rule in glory, when the Lord will tabernacle with man on earth. Isaiah writes that in the future, darkness would cover the earth and the people. Well, we've seen periods throughout history where there was darker days and certainly less dark days. But I think in the day we live, there is a growing darkness, and it should be quite evident to us. That darkness seems to increase, and yet God has called us to be lights, as he is the light, and we are to reflect that light. And we see it in ministries like CEF and a number of others that are standing up for the truth of God's word and showing God's love in a broken world, telling children there is hope, hope in Jesus, and one day his glory will be revealed to all men. Isaiah also wrote in Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. As mentioned, this light wasn't just for Israel, but for all nations. For God sent his Son not into the world just for Israel, but for all, to pay that price, the sin that all of us bear. he bore it himself. And I believe this was partially fulfilled, what Isaiah was writing about during the Roman Empire, when our Lord did come to this earth, when he did give his life as a sacrificial sacrifice on the cross through his death, burial, and resurrection. The church began first with the Jewish believers, but then expanded rapidly throughout the Gentile nations. But now Isaiah is also speaking of a much more future event, when kings will not only acknowledge Jesus as Lord, but they will come to Israel to worship him. Verse 4, Isaiah seems to indicate the ingathering of the sons and daughters of Israel back to the land. And once again, we see a partial fulfillment in that in the day that we live, for we see the rebirth of the nation of Israel, and that many have returned, although over half of them still reside outside of that nation. But the prophets have spoken of this numerous times. Ezekiel 36, verse 24, Ezekiel wrote, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land." Jeremiah wrote of this in 32, verse 37. "Behold, I will gather them out of the countries whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in great wrath, and I will bring them again to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely." And Isaiah also wrote in Isaiah 43, verses 5 to 7, "Fear not, for I am with thee." Jesus is that I am. "I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, and I have formed him, yea, I have made him." We see that throughout these examples, God was willing to call Israel, a disobedient nation, back to the land, as he had foretold. He would bring them when they did not have faith within him, within his son Jesus. And if we see that perfect providence of God fulfilling his promises, how much more does that give us hope and joy in our lives as Christians, that he will fulfill the promises he has made to us, that he is willing to call us when we are humbled before him and come with a servant heart. It's not about what we could ever do, but what God does. God does it for his glory and his name. He will fulfill his word exactly as he has foretold it. And when Jesus comes to rule, the abundance of the sea shall be brought to Israel. The sea in the Bible often refers to the different Gentile nations. And we know that during the rule of Christ, the nations will come bearing gifts and worship the king. Much like at the birth of our Lord Jesus, there is the wise men that had come from far with gifts. This was but a foreshadowing of what would take place when he is ruling as king. Our Lord created us for worship and intended us to worship him. He desires us to do so with a sincere heart. And as we wade through the darkness of this world, may we be encouraged, not discouraged, but may we all arise and shine. Rise and shine, for God has given us another day that we can serve him, live for him, to walk in his truth. And may we lift our eyes, for our redemption draws near, continue to tell of the hope that Jesus offers, because it is what he has done and not what we have done. May we give thanks to him now and always and praise his holy name.